This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Welcome to Pick a Tale for Children. My name's Phil. I am actually just here to intro the show today. Unfortunately, Leslie can't be with us, but we have Sheila Forbes, who also presents our Pick a Tale for Adults, who will fill in today and read a couple of stories for you. Enjoy.
Have you ever had toothache? It's very sore, isn't it? That's why you should look after your teeth carefully and clean them every day. This is a story about a dragon that had toothache. It's called The Dragon's Tooth. There was once a dragon called Greg. He was huge and green and scaly, with knobs all along his backbone. When he was annoyed, little puffs of smoke would come from his nostrils and he would grumble and growl. But when he was very angry, great clouds of smoke would billow out of him and flames would dart out of his mouth, and he would roar loudly. The smoke made his eyes water, and the flames made him cough, and his throat would be sore for days after a specially loud roar, so he didn't do it often. Greg lived in a big cave in the mountainside. He was really quite friendly, but he never had a chance to make any friends. Anyone who saw him would turn and run before he had a chance to say hello. One day, Greg woke up feeling very miserable. He had toothache, and his teeth were so enormous that when one of them ached, it was a very big ache. He sat at the back of his cave feeling very sorry for himself. Suddenly, a young man appeared at the mouth of the cave, waving a sword. "Oh, dragon," shouted the young man, "come out and fight. I'm going to kill you." Greg could hardly believe his ears. "I don't want to fight," he grumbled. "Go away and leave me alone." And he puffed smoke in the young man's direction. The young man coughed and choked. "I'm Prince Hell," he spluttered. I've come to kill you, dragon. Come out and fight." Greg was beginning to get angry. "I don't like fighting," he said. "Why do you want to kill me? Go away." And he gave a roar, but only a little one because he didn't want to have a sore throat as well as a sore tooth. He started to come out of his cave to have a look at this impudent prince. Prince Hal trembled a little when he heard the roar and saw Greg coming towards him, but he waved his sword and rushed bravely forward. But just as he came close to Greg, he stopped and flung his sword on the ground. "It's no good," he said sadly. "I can't kill you. I can't kill anything. I shall never be able to marry the Princess Amaryllis." Greg was more surprised than ever. "Why do you want to kill me in order to marry the princess?" he asked. "Anyone who wishes to marry the princess must first take her father, a dragon's tooth, a kondaroo's egg, and the tail of a gumby lizard," said the prince. A kondaroo was a huge, fierce bird that guarded its eggs well, and a gumby lizard was an enormous creature that could swallow a dog in one gulp. So Greg knew those things would be hard to get. "Well, why don't you marry someone else?" he asked sensibly. "I love Princess Amaryllis," Hal said. "I don't want to marry anyone else." Greg didn't understand this at all. "Is the princess very beautiful?" he asked. Hal thought for a moment. "Not really," he said. "But she's kind and gentle, and she laughs a lot, and when I'm with her, I'm very happy." Greg had almost forgotten his toothache, but it suddenly gave a nasty twinge, and he groaned loudly. Prince Hal turned quite pale and took two steps backwards. "What's the matter?" he asked nervously. I have toothache, moaned Greg with a little sob. I didn't know dragons got toothache, said Hal in amazement. He became quite excited. If it's very painful, can't I take it out for you? Then I would have my dragon's tooth without having to kill a dragon. Greg wasn't too sure about that, though he could see it was a good idea. How will you take it out? He asked cautiously. Is it loose? Asked Hal. Greg opened his mouth wide so that Hal could have a look. Hal was rather nervous about looking into a dragon's mouth, but he thought about Princess Amaryllis and bravely put his hand in to touch the bad tooth. It was quite wobbly, but he didn't think he would be strong enough to pull it out. Then he had an idea. He showed Greg the coil of rope he had tied to his belt. This is to help me climb the mountains. Let me tie one end to your tooth and the other end to a rock. Then I can push the rock down the mountainside, and as it falls, it will pull out your tooth. Greg thought about that for a while, but all the time he was thinking, his tooth ached and ached, and it hurt so much that he made up his mind. Please do it quickly, he moaned. Prince Hal tied one end of the rope round the bad tooth. Then he searched for a suitable rock. Puffing and panting, he carried the rock to the cave, put it down at the edge of the cliff, and tied the loose end of the rope round it. Ready? He asked the dragon. Greg shut his eyes tight and opened his mouth wide and groaned. Hal pushed the rock, and it tumbled over the cliff and down the mountainside. As it went, it gave a jerk, and out came Greg's tooth. Greg gave a great roar as the tooth came out, but after a few minutes he realized that the dreadful ache had gone, and he felt much better. Hal had to scramble down the mountain to fetch the precious tooth and his rope, but he came back looking very pleased. Now I only have to find a kangaroo's nest and a Gumby lizard's tail, he announced. Thank you for giving me your tooth. Greg was so relieved that his toothache had gone that he wanted to help the prince. I know where there's a kangaroo's nest, he said, but I don't know whether there's an egg in it. Please show me, said Hal eagerly. Greg led Hal almost to the top of the mountain and pointed to a narrow, rocky ledge where there was a huge, untidy stick nest. A large bird glared up at them and squawked angrily. Greg leaned over and puffed a cloud of smoke down on her. She flapped her wings and shrieked with rage. Greg puffed again, a much bigger cloud of smoke that made his eyes water. Again the bird shrieked, but this time she flew out of the nest and began diving backwards and forwards over the dragon. Hal scrambled quickly into the nest and picked up one of the two large spotted eggs he saw there. The smoke made him cough so much that he nearly fell off the ledge. He struggled back along the rocky path, carrying the heavy egg very carefully. The bird flew alongside him, screeching angrily for a while, but then she went back to the nest and settled on her remaining egg. Hal found Greg sitting with his eyes closed and smoky tears tickling down his face. I've got my egg, said Hal in delight. Greg opened his eyes and beamed at him. Thank you for your help, Greg, said Hal. You're the nicest dragon I've ever met. Greg was rather embarrassed at this. He hung his head and shuffled his feet and turned quite mauve. Hal used his rope to make a sling so that he could carry the egg and the tooth on his back. "Now I only need the tail of a Gumby lizard," he said. "I can show you a place where the lizards lie on the rocks and bask in the sun," offered Greg. "Thank you, Greg," replied Hal. "But how can I get a lizard's tail without killing it?" Greg gave a great big dragon grin. "I think I know a way," he said. They climbed down the mountain until they came to a place where the rocks were smooth and level. Several Gumby lizards scuttled away as they saw Greg and Hal coming, all except one very large lizard, which was fast asleep. Greg winked at Hal and crept very quietly up to the lizard until he was standing right beside it. Suddenly he opened his mouth and gave the loudest roar Hal had ever heard. He covered his ears to shut out the sound, but the lizard got such a fright that it shot into the air, dropped its tail, and disappeared behind some rocks, leaving the tail quivering on the ground. Hal was astonished. "Why did he drop his tail?" he asked. "Lizards often drop their tails when they get a fright," explained Greg in a hoarse whisper. His throat was sore after that loud roar, but he was grinning again. "It will grow another one in time." Hal was overjoyed. Now he could go home and marry the Princess Amaryllis. He slung the tail over his shoulder and prepared to set off. "Greg, you are my best friend," he said happily. "You must come to my wedding." Greg shuffled his feet again. "I can't come," he said. "I shall frighten away all your other guests." "I shall tell them not to be afraid," said Hal firmly. "But please come." "Well," said Greg, "perhaps I will." And Hal had to be satisfied with that. But Greg didn't get to the wedding after all, because on his way there, he met a lady dragon. She was huge and green and scaly, with knobs all along her back, and Greg thought she was beautiful. So he decided to have a wedding of his own. Nikki's toe. Nikki woke up one morning still feeling very tired. He'd been tossing and turning all night. He sat up on his moss-covered bed, and as soon as he put his feet on the ground, he realized why he was so uncomfortable. The big toe on his left foot was red and swollen and very painful. "Ow," he groaned. "Ow, ow." Nikki was a shy little fellow and lived by himself. The other gnomes lived in the dell, where there were several old hollow trees standing together. There was no one nearby to help him. Nikki looked at the pigeon's egg he'd put out for his breakfast, but he really didn't feel like eating anything. Perhaps he would go and see Barney. Owls were supposed to be very clever. He didn't like Barney very much. Several times when Nikki had been out after dark, the owl had swooped down silently and given him a fright. But his toe was so sore that he decided to ask the barn owl for advice. He limped slowly through the wood to the big barn, which stood at the edge of Farmer Fido's field. He crept into the barn and stood under the beam where Barney usually slept. "Psst," he whispered. "Psst, Barney." He knew Barney didn't like loud noises. The owl opened one beady eye and looked down at him coldly. "I have a very sore toe," said Nikki nervously. "Can you tell me how to cure it?" Barney closed his eye and then opened it again Suddenly he swooped down and landed beside Nicky, making him jump. Barney inspected the toe and hissed, "Boiled burdock roots." Then he flew back to his beam and closed his eyes firmly. Nicky waited for a while to see if he would say anything more, but Barney kept his eyes closed, so Nicky limped away again. On his way home, he saw several large burdock plants, but the huge leaves towered over him. At last he found a small one, and with a sharp stick, he scraped away some of the damp soil. Then he pulled and tugged and heaved, and slowly the root came out of the soil. Nicky dragged it along behind him as he hobbled home. The root was so big that he had to boil it in his little tin bath. He didn't like the smell very much. Suddenly he remembered he hadn't asked Barney what he should do with the boiled burdock root. Should he eat it, or put it on his toe, or drink some of the water, or bathe his toe in it? When it had cooled a little, he sipped some of the water, but it was very bitter, and he decided instead to put his foot into the warm water. It did seem to relieve the pain a little. But the next day, his toe was more swollen and painful than ever. Miserably, he looked at it and wondered what to do. Perhaps Foxy Fred could help him. Slowly and painfully, he hobbled off to find Fred's earth. "Hello," said Foxy Fred cheerfully. "Can't stop, young fella. There's a hunt on today. Got to find a new hiding place before the hounds catch my scent. I'll fox 'em," and he chuckled. "Please," said poor Nicky, "won't you first look at my toe? It is so sore." "Righto," said Fred. "Just a quickie." He looked at Nicky's toe. "My word, that's a toe buncle you've got there. Poor fella, looks sore. Toad spit, that's the answer. Be seeing you. Got to run now. Cheerio." And off he went at top speed through the wood. Nicky sat down on a rock and rested. He didn't fancy the idea of toad spit at all, but his toe hurt so much that he was willing to try anything. After a while, he got up and went in search of Toby Toad. Toby was sitting under a large damp dock leaf next to the stream, which ran through the wood. His beady little eyes watched Nicky as he came closer, but he said nothing. "Please, Mr. Toad," said Nicky shyly, "I have a very sore toe. Foxy Fred said that toad spit would cure it." Toby blinked his eyes quickly but said nothing. "Please, Mr. Toad," said Nicky desperately, "will you spit on my toe?" And he put his foot forward and closed his eyes. After a moment, Nicky heard a strange croaking sound. He opened his eyes and looked at Toby. The toad quivered and shook and spluttered and held his sides while he laughed and laughed until fat tears ran down his fat cheeks and splashed onto the ground. Suddenly, Nicky remembered that toad spit was the name the children gave to the bubbly white froth that some insects made on plants. He was so embarrassed and upset that he turned and hobbled away as fast as he could. "Why, little Nicky, whatever is the matter?" He looked up and saw Hetty Hedgehog studying him with concern. Haltingly and tearfully, Nicky told her the story. "It was very unkind of Toby to laugh at you," she said, although she couldn't help giving a little smile herself. "Let me look at this toe of yours." Nicky showed her his toe, and she shook her head. You have a bad case of golibitis, she said seriously. The only one who can help you is the wood witch. Nikki stared at her and shivered at the thought of going to the wood witch. Nobody knew much about her, but everyone was afraid of her. I'll wait until morning and see if it's any better, he said fearfully. He turned and slowly made his way home. Nikki hardly slept that night. His head ached and he felt hot and shivery at the same time, while his toe felt as if it was on fire. When he got up in the morning, he was quite dizzy. He knew he really would have to go to the wood witch. Nobody else could help him. He took his little store of seed pennies and slowly, with lots of rests, made his way to the wood witch's house. A fat black cat sat on the doorstep, washing itself thoroughly. Trembling, Nikki hobbled up the path to the front door. The cat interrupted its washing for a few moments to stare at him with huge green eyes, but then ignored him. Nikki knocked softly on the door and then looked up in fright as it was opened by an old woman with a bent back and straggly white hair. He turned to run away, but she said, "What can I do for you, my little friend?" in such a gentle voice that he turned back again. He held out his seed pennies. "I have a very sore toe," he whispered, "but please will you sell me a magic spell to make it better?" The old woman laughed, but not unkindly. "I don't know how to make magic spells," she said. "But come inside and let me see if I can help you." Nikki was nervous about going into her house, but he looked up at her kind smile and her twinkly eyes and lost some of his fear. She led him into a warm, cheerful room and sat him near the fire. After a few minutes, she brought him a cup. "You don't look at all well, little friend," she said. "Drink some of this tea. It will make you feel better." Nikki took the cup reluctantly and took a few sips. It tasted of herbs and spices and made him feel warm and drowsy. While he drank it, the old woman carefully bathed his sore toe, and while she bandaged it up, he fell asleep. Nikki slept for a long time, and when he awoke, he didn't for a few moments remember where he was. Then he saw the black cat purring contentedly next to the fire, and he remembered what had happened. He felt much better, and the pain in his toe had almost gone. Shyly, he thanked the old woman and offered her his seed pennies. But she shook her head and smiled. "I'm glad I was able to help," she said. "Come and see me again, little friend. It's sometimes quite lonely here in the wood with only Jet to keep me company." Nikki looked at her in surprise. She wasn't really a witch at all, just a kind old woman. And he wondered why he'd ever been afraid of her. "Yes, I will," he said eagerly. And he did.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.